I'm wondering, looking back on the arc of your life, if you can't now identify the markers that, led you in the direction that you ultimately went, when you look back, can you see the path?
I do see that core of interest is very definitely been a steady one from, I think, very early in my life. And I remember feeling when I was at University of Michigan, when I was in the School of Music and had to be tutored, and I was a pretty good student, but I didn't know theory. I didn't know the theory of music. I wasn't taught that way. I remember thinking, I'm never going to be anything in the music world, but that I want to be something connected. I don't have the performing talent that I could be really be a performing artist, and I'll never be anything in the world of music. Maybe I should go to library school. Or I knew that I wanted to be connected with the music world. I certainly never dreamed I'd get any kind of recognition for doing anything special. I think that's sort of the core of it. I expect that the coming together of the oral history, the one-in-one kind of relationship that the interviewer and the interviewee have, has something to do with my personality or my devotion to the music, or my family's always saying, what is it you're studying? My learning curiosity grows. And I see that as a, not a close of an arc, but a continuation of a line in the way it doesn't close at the end, which I have really objected to in terms of people cutting themselves, wanting to minimize what they do when they're older instead of experiencing as much as possible, with the realization that none of it is the golden years that they claim, and there are difficulties and so forth. I'm searching and taking pleasure in learning. There's something a little driven about it. I think maybe my family might recognize that. That, I mean, really, what do I have to drive myself to finish a book in the day that I started, and then start over again from the beginning to think about what is this I've just read? There's a pleasure in learning. I think my mother had that. Why, I don't know, because where does it go? That's the answer, the unanswered question, isn't it? Oh, that incredible expertise and so forth that we talked about Copeland having. Ives genius and so forth. It's not with us forever. It isn't, and immortality is for only the great creative artists, and doing something in their sort of in their service, I find satisfying. And being part of that world, I find satisfying. I found it very tantalizing to be part of it, temporarily a small part of the architectural world of drawings and so forth for the Ives studio, because it took me to offices I didn't know, to drawings I've admired from a distance, to actually having a group of architects talking to me because they wanted to know about Ives. They knew as little about Ives as I knew about what they were doing. But I found that extraordinary addition to my pleasure in life. I used to get angry with my mother when she would say, you have to thank Sandy for what you've done. Say, why? I did it. What do you mean? Well, he allowed you to do it. There was never a sense of anything but support, and which was extraordinary. And my family as well, my children and grandchildren, it just is a great pleasure that I have, that I find a lot of my peer colleagues do not have, that kind of support, qualified affection that I know is there. Sandy certainly was a very special part of this whole picture, and I realized I hadn't said so. It was so smoothly taken for granted. And some of these people that we've talked about, whether it was UB or John Cage and Merce Cunningham or Copeland, they all admired and were happy to have Sandy as part of our social situations, and that could have been very much different than it was. Again, it was really done with no fuss. It's the way it was.